Welcome to the second episode of the James's Coffee Blog podcast, released Sunday, July 2nd, 2023. I have just prepared myself a cup of black tea, which means there is a chance that throughout this episode I will be casually sipping on the cup of tea, lest it get cold. An interesting judgment call on my part. To that end, though, I've been thinking about a lot of things over the past few days, and yesterday I decided that I would separate out all the notes I'd taken over the last week for things I wanted to talk about into the show, into their own document. So I wouldn't quite call it a script because my note-taking is very concise, suffice to say. But one thing I wanted to talk about was a project that I've been working on this weekend to have a system that allows you to record yourself speaking and compares how similar your voice is to that of Taylor Swift. To build this, I took Taylor Swift's song Shake It Off, cut it into 10-second segments, and actually before I cut it into segments, I removed all of the sounds other than the vocals using a DMux model by Facebook. So then I have a bunch of audio clips of Taylor Swift's voice singing. And then from there, I'm using a Python library called PyAnote to run a similarity calculation to run a speaker verification check on two audio samples. So I ask a user to record an audio sample, then I compare that to 10 of the Taylor Swift samples I have, and then I take the maximum value returned by the model. So that's worked really well. I took averages, but sometimes there was kind of a bit of noise that brought down the average. A median could work too, but in any case, with this method, I've been able to get good results. Not perfect. I need to add a bit more processing. When a user records a clip of them singing a song, if there's music in the background, that can impact the results among other background noises, so I need to work through that. In my testing, it was reported that my voice had a 0% similarity to Taylor Swift, or rather it was rounding down, it was something like 0.0 something. That was interesting to me. But in any case, I may chip away at this a bit more, I'm not sure. I tried other approaches too. I tried using an embedding model, again by Facebook, called ImageBind, specifically using their audio embeddings. I found that to work okay, but the confidences weren't as consistent, if I recall, as they were with PyAnote, which is a separate open source project. And so yeah, it's been interesting. So now on my home screen on my phone, I have an app called Swiftify, which lets me record a clip and does that comparison with the PyAnote model. I thought it would be kind of a cool game that you could share with friends, and there could be a leaderboard too. The leaderboard system I think would work particularly well, because even if the confidence numbers from the model, or rather how similar your voice is to Taylor Swift, or rather it's sort of a proxy for that, you could kind of compete with your friends and you'd be able to kind of share your scores on social media or whatever. I don't know, but yeah, it's been interesting. I've learned quite a bit about audio processing. I tried other approaches too. Like I wondered, there is a metric, or rather there's a series of metrics. I had to Google at the long form, male frequency sepstral coefficients, or MFCCs, and they're I believe using audio classification. So I was playing around with those a bit, but they didn't really work for this task of like understanding if how similar someone's voice is to another person's voice. So yeah, it's been a fun project. I know that was a kind of a long technical debriefing, but one kind of meta point is I went into this project not sure exactly how it would work, and I've learned a lot, but I'm not entirely sure if even with the post-processing that I should do to remove background noise when a user submits a clip of them singing, I'm still not sure if that will achieve good results. It may be the case that like it returns okay results, but not good at not really good enough. I don't know. So that sometimes happens with projects, and there's sort of this hesitancy in my mind about like should I package this up, and like it's open source, but should I go the extra mile to do the README and to clean up the code and such, when there could be maybe another iteration I do in the future that works better. But alas, this is what exploration is all about in programming. You go down a rabbit hole and you're curious and you play around, and sometimes things just don't really work to the way that you want using your method, and then one can go find another method. I think in this case though, I'm interested in other areas of audio too. There's a bunch of interesting resources online about this. Fast AI, to have built excellent tutorials and technologies for working with machine learning, have a Fast AI audio explainer with a lot of information about the fundamentals of audio. And Hugging Face too, who are another prominent player in the world of machine learning, also have a tutorial on audio processing. It doesn't go into speaker verification, but it was the bits that I was reading covered the fundamentals, and there were other further guides for some audio tasks too. So yeah, that's the audio things that have been on my mind. Another thing that's been on my mind is dreams for the web. I was kind of wondering what other people would like me to talk about on the show, and Tontek in the indie web community asked the question, "What are your dreams for the web?" And it's a big question. I'm sure I could think of many kind of different points I want to make over time, but one that came to mind was like, I'm really curious about the extent of ideas like Clubhouse, or even like a video extension to Clubhouse, where like your friend has a room that they're in, and you can just tap on that room, like let's say your friend room, and then people join, and it's ephemeral, so you don't need to ask permission. You can just hang out there, and nobody would. Maybe nobody would even get a notification, and it's just the case that if you're bored, you can go there, and there may be a friend there, or even by a larger extent, like a community group, where sort of like Discord, I suppose, where you can have a voice room, and you can just hang out there until someone joins. I'm fascinated by the extensions of that idea, on the web. I have no idea how that would. Yeah, to take it to like a decentralized, or take it down a decentralized path. Maybe you could have a site that you authenticate with IndieAuth, so that would be using your domain name, your domain being your identifier, and then you could join an interest room, and yeah, I don't know. Yeah, quickly you run into all these sorts of content moderation things, but I am curious about, I guess the point I want to make is, how do we make the web, or rather exploring more of the social aspects of the web, like Mastodon and Blue Sky that I mentioned in my previous podcast episode are new frontiers in the world of social media exploration. And the fact that there is an open API over Mastodon and Blue Sky, or rather protocols, I should say, there's room for so much creativity there. There's all these bots on Mastodon and tools, and there's a whole ecosystem around it. I recently found a glitch.com who allow you to create websites and have templates, and so it looks like a really fun community. And Glitch has a whole page on Fediverse tools, and it's lovely to see that such a rich ecosystem emerge. Which is to say that interoperability and building technologies that allow that extensibility open up so many avenues of creativity. And whether it be bots on the platform, or whether it be in Blue Sky's case, like content feeds and filtering, Blue Sky, one can build your own feeds, and over time, I'd be curious to see if people build richer algorithms, I don't know, like a feed. This is a pertinent example. Something I've been thinking about: a feed for research papers in a field, and it you subscribe to this feed in your Blue Sky reader, and you get the papers, and the papers are on the subject that you're interested in, and also they're weighed in some way. So maybe it's like papers that cite foundational research, or in that field, or papers that mention certain keywords, or even doing like a Bayesian content classifier to see if something meets kind of meets a criteria on that a user defines. And yeah, that is to say there's so many possibilities there. And the fact that it's decentralized, anyone can participate in this ecosystem, and we can have that innovation. People who are using tools like Blue Sky, somebody halfway around the world could build an interesting tool that they can use, and it integrates directly into their experience. So, whereas with Instagram and Twitter and such, those public APIs are no longer available. So yeah, I guess dreams for the web and exploring all these social directions. The indie web community, of which I'm a member, is very much exploring these ideas. Often, or in some discussions at a more technical level, but in others, we're trying to push the envelope on kind of the foundation of the social web. So on the technical side, we thought about things like authentication and publishing content. And then one key principle there is rather than just build the so-called plumbing, the pipes that connect things together and standards, we need to use what we make, or in other words that the community have used, cook what we sorry, eat what we cook. And that's worked really well. We have people trying things out and exploring and writing about it. And yeah, it's interesting because communities like the Blue Sky developers and the interweb and such, a lot of the work there, like what really takes off is the things that allow greater creative expression on the web. So by larger extension, one idea I had was a Blue Sky bot that if an image or rather a Blue Sky utility for generating like alt text for images, there's some really caption generation in the field of computer vision, and indeed natural language, is achieving much better results. And there's many state-of-the-art models out there that would be able to at least offer in many cases better alt text than no alt text. My hierarchy is that one does have to have a good bar for, or rather a high bar for good alt text. Human written is the pinnacle. Text that has been reviewed, generated by like a captioning model and reviewed by human is the next layer, and then no alt text. The bad alt text is worse than no alt text. So where bad references kind of the accuracy, the or and the extent to which that the alt text describes the important things in the image. So yeah, that's those are some of my dreams for the web. This is definitely stream of consciousness thinking, and trying to merge ideas in my mind. I realize it's been 50 minutes and I've not yet taken a sip of my tea, and still warm, so let me do that now. Perfect temperature. I'm drinking black tea today, Yorkshire tea. Yeah, it's very pleasant indeed. And on other topics, one other topic that I wrote down, and I thought I have to mention this. And now I think about it, I should have done it at the start of the episode. It's greetings that people use. I'm fascinated by how people say hello and well, and kind of introduce each other for the first. Well, rather, yeah, greet someone for like the first time in the morning, or the first time you see someone that day. And like, there's many. One could say hello, hi. I've heard howdy. I've heard just referring to someone by their first name with enthusiasm. And yeah, there's not much to pick apart there, but I think the enthusiasm and like the energy going into a greeting is really interesting. Or even not greeting someone with their name, like a what's up, or another similar expression. And the more energy in there, I think the better. Yeah, it's always, I find it uplifting when somebody introduces themselves and there's like a real energy in their voice. And yeah, I wrote that down and now I realize I probably should have had more to say about it. But yeah, going back to the indie web, or rather the social web discussion. One thing that came to mind earlier this week was the notion of make stuff and not just focus on infrastructure. So that's another way of saying like the plumbing matters, but what matters more is building, using that plumbing to create something interesting. And that's one reason I'm really passionate about the indie web is people build technology, but not only do they use it, not only do they use kind of the more technical things, they use it to express themselves, like to enable new methods of posting content on your website, or new social or new methods of social interaction on the web, and that's fascinating. One technology that I found out about recently is called Open Stories. And Open Stories is a standard that someone wrote for like Instagram stories on your websites. I've played around with it quite a bit, and you should be able to find it on GitHub. And I can't remember if the kind of Instagram stories style feature that I have on my personal website, if that implements any of Open Stories. I remember exploring it a little bit, but yeah, it's the case where somebody built technology and it could be used to yeah enable kind of a standardized way of exchanging stories on the web. Like one idea that came to mind there was like you could have like a private system where you have an app on your phone to share stories with your friends and family members, and that's all this app does. And maybe the stories only become available for like 5 minutes a day, and after that they all disappear. And you can save them if you'd like, but the point being that they're ephemeral, and there's no kind of compulsion to check, because you know that they'll only be available at a certain time of day. That is yeah, that's another interesting thing to think about. Like content that's only, it's almost like a time limit, but imposed by the application rather than by your device. Because it's easy to kind of set yourself a limit for using something, and then to kind of exceed that limit. Whereas with, if an app says like, hey, you can use this app for 5 minutes a day, that and you will see all of your content in that time, and then we're gonna then you'll have to come back tomorrow for another 5 minutes. That would be interesting. I don't know if it would work, but it would be interesting. In review, this has been a long chat about technology. I wonder if I could end on a note that's not technology. Yeah, I have something. I'm looking to my left, and my Monstera plant, which I've had for maybe about a year and a half now, is growing larger than ever. And actually, as I look more studiously, I see there's a number of aerial roots, one quite large and others starting to emerge, which is, I've read, a good sign of growth in a Monstera. And I've seen aerial roots pop out before, I think around about this time last year as well. Although I can't fully recall. It's always nice when you've been taking care of a plant for a long time and it's doing well. The same can't be said for my peace lily, although it may peel fruit. I think there may have been issues with sunlight. So I don't know. That's something I'm paying attention to. But in any case, thank you for listening to this episode of my podcast. I hope you have a great day, and yeah, see you next episode.